Well, good evening, everyone. We're glad you're here. I want to thank you for coming out tonight. And Lord willing, we'll conclude our study tonight on the doctrine of grace, grace words, and studying these achievements that are related to grace. And then, Lord willing, next Wednesday night, we begin a new study on the history and the importance of Israel. And it is going to be a fascinating study. I think you'll find it fascinating. So we'll start that, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. Before we get into our study tonight, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are God, and we thank you for the privilege we have of being here tonight. We pray that you would minister to our minds and hearts this evening through the power of the Spirit of God. We'll thank you for that work. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we talk about the grace of God, we're talking about a package that we receive. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. In fact, in this grace package, these things are not experienced. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we didn't frankly know they even happened. Not only that, but they're not progressive. You don't progress in these things. This was just a package that was given to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what grace is. And we've been saying, as we've been in this part of the study, that there are 33 achievements that occurred the moment a person believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that they had no knowledge had actually taken place. And we said, for you became part of the elective plan of God at that instant. I mean, you didn't know that. You from your perspective, made a decision to believe in the Lord, and that's all you saw it as, your decision to believe in the Lord. And then you look in the scriptures, and you say, well, God had chosen you before the foundation of the world, and that was all in the elective decrees of God. So there's something we had no sense about when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We were redeemed. The full payment was paid for all of our sins. We were reconciled to God. We entered into a propitiatory relationship with the Lord, which meant that all of the violations against his righteousness were settled by Jesus Christ. When we believed on Christ, they were settled in our account. We were forgiven of all of our sins the moment we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We had new life. We were set free from the Old Testament law. Certainly none of us had knowledge of that the moment we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We became a child of God. We became a fully adopted child of God. Now, we were already in the family of God, but what that meant is we had full right status as a full adult son when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We were accepted by God. We were justified, declared righteous. We were brought near to the Lord. We were delivered from Satan and darkness and his domain, which we weren't even aware we were in, frankly. We didn't have any perspective of the fact that we were being dominated by the evil one prior to coming to faith in the Lord. But actually, when we came to faith in the Lord, we were set free from that. We were placed into the kingdom of God realm, which would indicate that we were placed into a relationship with the Lord where we share all of the things that are his. Our faith was put on a rock. It was solid. We became a gift to Christ. We received a heart circumcision. The moment we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we became a priest unto God. I mean, we don't have to go through some man priest anymore. We ourselves are priests unto the Lord. When we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're part of a chosen generation. We become part of that whole family of God. We became a heavenly citizen and a member of God's household. We have unique rights and privileges. Being a member of God's household, we have immediate fellowship with the Lord when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and also fellowship with other believers. We are involved in several heavenly associations. We have new relationships with the Godhead. We have new relationships with angels. All of that changes the moment we believe on the Lord that we weren't aware of. We have access to God, which is just staggering to think about. And then we are entering into a much deeper level of grace and love of God when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the 25 achievements that we've looked at thus far. Now we want to look at the remaining achievements, 33. Achievement number 26, at the moment of salvation, a believer has an inheritance in heaven. I'd like you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 these words. In fact, I'm going to start at verse 3, 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and which will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now that is a promise that's made to one who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the promise is you have an inheritance coming that cannot be defiled, it will not die, it will not fade away, because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, who of us knew that when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've got this inheritance somewhere at some moment that we're going to receive because of our relationship with the Lord? Back up to Ephesians 1, and it should be verse 18. I got the wrong verse there. It should be verse 18, Ephesians 1, 18. And Paul, in this statement, prays in Ephesians 1, 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Every believer has been guaranteed a heavenly inheritance, and the Spirit of God is our down payment that guarantees we have it coming. So the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are automatically guaranteed an inheritance in heaven. Now, depending on how we govern ourselves in light of the Scriptures, we can earn greater or lesser inheritance, at least rewards in the inheritance, apparently, because the Scriptures teach that. But we all have an inheritance, a heavenly inheritance, by virtue of the fact that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, by virtue of the fact we've experienced the grace of God. That's an amazing benefit of grace, that we would have an inheritance in heaven simply because we believe in Jesus Christ. But that's grace. Now, the 27th achievement is at the moment of salvation, a believer has an inheritance in Christ. I want to go to two passages of Scripture on this one. The first one is John 17. John 17. And in John chapter 17, we read in verse 22, and this is Christ's prayer. Verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, that would be for his disciples, but for those who will believe in me through their word, which is us. We've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ through the apostolic word of God, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Now, who in the world here can even explain that? I can't, and I've given a lot of years to the study of this book. I cannot possibly explain all the ramifications of the fact that we have this inheritance in Christ that's one with him and with the Father. I'll show you another one in regard to that. Go over to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And we read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, who of us can even fathom that? I mean, what is that actually saying? Christ is our life, and it'll be revealed that he is our life, and we'll be revealed with him in glory. What that tells us is, at the moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an inheritance that's in Christ, and you receive Christ himself, and you inherit everything that's connected to him. I can't even understand the full dimensions of that. But that's the promise in the Word of God. And the Word of God has never failed in one of its promises. So we know this is coming. This is a great part of the grace package. Now, the 28th achievement is, at the moment of salvation, a believer becomes the light of God. I'd like you to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, we read, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now the statement is, we are the light of God. The moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we become the light of God. Now it doesn't say you become the light of God if you do good stuff. It says you are the light of God. Now obviously we will radiate more or less light, depending on whether we're obeying the Scriptures. But whether or not we are obeying the Scriptures, we're the light of God. And there are times when you find yourself in situations where you're not necessarily trying to stand out. You're not even trying to get in discussions. You're just trying to quietly live your life, and you are realizing there's something here that's going on that's way beyond me, because there's this discussion that's taking place here, and you happen to be in the middle of it, and you're thinking, well, now, how is this happening? Why is this happening? It's because we're the light of God. We're connected to God. That's it. We're not looking for this stuff. That's the way it happens. Now, a major theme in the Bible is the symbolism of light. God himself says, I'm light. Everything about God is light. And when he saves a sinner, that believer becomes a light exhibit to this dark world. And that is why I think it's so critical that we learn to walk in light, because the scriptures are the light. And the more we're walking in the light, certainly the more light we're radiating. But whether or not we radiate much light or little light, the fact is we are the light once we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, now I don't deserve that. No, none of us do. That is grace. This is grace. It's amazing grace to have this relationship with the Lord. Now, the 29th achievement is, at the moment of salvation, a believer is vitally linked to the Trinity. Now, this is a little different nuance from what we talked about last time. We have access to the Trinity, and we talked about that in our previous study. When we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to the Trinity. We have access to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But not only do we have access, we're vitally linked to the Trinity. In fact, I want you to go to, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 1:1. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians in God the Father, in God the Father. Now that tells us that every believer is in God the Father, and God the Father is in every believer. There's one faith, one Father, one baptism, one God. I mean, so there is a unique connection to God the Father. We're in God the Father. Now go over to Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So not only are we believing in Christ, we're actually, every believer is in God the Son. God the Son's in every believer. So you have God the Father, we are in God the Father, and God the Father is in us. You have God the Son, we're in God the Son, God the Son is in us. And then you have God the Spirit, if you're there in chapter 8 and verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So we're in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is in every single believer. That is a dynamic link, vital link and relationship. We have the entire Trinity. And here's the amazing thing about that. There's not an Old Testament believer that had that. Not an Old Testament believer that had this kind of connection to God. This is very peculiar to grace and the grace package that we have and that we receive in Jesus Christ. This is a very special relationship that believers of this dispensation have with God, and it is very peculiar to grace. Now, were we aware of that when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Did we deserve this when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Not at all. But that's grace, part of the package of the gift of God in salvation. Now, the 30th achievement is, at the moment of salvation, a believer receives the Holy Spirit. Every believer, at the moment of salvation, receives the Holy Spirit, who becomes the down payment that guarantees that we're going to have eternal blessings. Let's go over to Ephesians 1. And let's start at verse 13. Ephesians 1:13. We read, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So the moment we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we received the Spirit of God, which is a down payment that guarantees every single believer, they're going to have greater eternal heavenly blessings that are yet to come. And there are five amazing Holy Spirit benefits that occur at the moment a believer believes on the Lord. The first one is, every believer is born of the Spirit. John 3:6 says that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So every believer is actually brought into a saving relationship by the power of the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God that convicts a person, a Spirit of God that brings that person to realize, I need to believe in Jesus Christ. In spite of all this religious stuff, I need to believe in Jesus Christ. That's the Spirit of God that did that. Number two, every believer is baptized with the Spirit. We've spent a lot of time talking about that. And that's that moment in time when the Spirit of God actually identifies you and links you with everything Jesus Christ is and everything he accomplished on the cross. This is the moment where you literally can say, my sins are nailed to that cross. And you say, well, now how does that happen? I mean, the cross was 2,000 years ago. How in the world do my sins get back there in time to that cross? That Spirit of God links me, you, and Christ on that cross, and that's how that link happens at his baptism. That's what the baptism of the Spirit of God actually is. As Paul would say, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. Every believer, thirdly, is anointed with the Spirit. I'd like you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And then I'm going to have you go over to 1 John chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we read in verse 21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. We have received the Spirit of God. We've been anointed with the Spirit of God, every single believer. So if somebody comes along to you and just says to you, well, have you been anointed with the Spirit? Absolutely. Been anointed with the Spirit. That happened the day I believed in Jesus Christ. It happened to you the day you believed in Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what that's discussing. Now flip over, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, we read in verse 27, which says this, as for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. That's the Spirit of God. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as he has taught you, you abide in him. Now, this is not saying you don't need teachers and you don't need gifts. It's just saying that we have the Holy Spirit in us that will bear witness to the truth of the Word of God, and he will enable us to recognize it. There will be a sense within inside every single believer, that's the truth. I know I'm hearing the truth. It's ringing in my soul. There will also be, in a believer that's in close fellowship with the Lord, the sense that's wrong. There will be a sense about that. And people who are walking close in the Scriptures and they have fellowship with the Lord, this Spirit of God that lives in them puts up red flags. You know, when I first came to Christ, I didn't know beans about doctrine. I mean, I had some guy at work telling me that I had to speak in tongues. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, how do I know? I'm not in a church that teaches this stuff. So I would just get along with God and I'd say, I don't understand this stuff. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, Lord, but I want you to lead me. But I'll tell you what, here's what I do know. When something odd was happening, this little thing came up. And I'm going, nah, something's not right with this. Something's wrong with this. Couldn't explain it. Couldn't defend myself doctrinally. I mean, I couldn't doctrinally fight my way out of a bag at that point. But I certainly knew something was wrong. Well, now, how did I know this when you're not even taught anything? How did you know this? The Spirit of God was doing it. And when you get under the Word of God and it rings, that Spirit of God teaches and your soul lights up. And you go, I'm hearing truth. That's the truth. I know it's the truth. That's just how the Spirit of God works. Now flip over in 1 John to chapter 3. And I want you to notice verse 24. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he's given to us. Now there is no question that as we abide in the Word of God, we, by the power of the Spirit, do have fellowship with the Lord. And we're able to walk close with the Lord through life. And that certainly becomes a prerogative of having the Spirit of God who has been given to us and who has anointed us. But that occurs the moment you believe. When did you receive the anointing of the Spirit of God? The moment you believed in Jesus Christ. It was part of the grace package for you. Now, the fourth benefit of having received the Spirit of God is you've been sealed by the Spirit. Sealed by the Spirit. And I want you to back up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do you see that? Man, there's eternal security. You've been sealed by the Spirit of God for the day of redemption. That guarantees you heaven right there. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it's not a bright thing to grieve the Spirit of God in view of that reality, but that is the reality. We've been sealed by the power of the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. So that Spirit of God really is the security that we have. And then finally, every believer has the potential to be filled with the Spirit of God. And you'll notice in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is able to actually fill us. You'll never get more of the Spirit of God than the moment you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Spirit of God can get more of you. And the Spirit of God gets more of us as we are growing and learning and applying the Scriptures. We become more of a light reflector. And the Spirit of God uses us in context of witnessing and ministering and all kinds of situations and circumstances. And that is due to the fact of the Spirit of God. Now, in view of the fact that we have this Holy Spirit in us, which is a marvelous gift of God, a marvelous grace of God, certainly, as we read there at Ephesians 4:30, you don't want to grieve him. And you don't want to, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, you don't want to quench him. In other words, you don't want to do things that's going to grieve the Spirit of God or quench the Spirit of God. In view of the fact that we have this wonderful, marvelous relationship with the Lord that's a tremendous package, part of grace that's part of our lives in the Spirit of God. Now, the 31st achievement is, at the moment of salvation, a believer is glorified. Go over to Romans, if you would, please, chapter 8. This is one of the great, great verses of grace and salvation. Verse 30, Romans 8:30, and these whom he predestined, he also called, and these whom he called, he also justified, and these whom he justified, he also glorified. Want you to notice, those that are justified are glorified. Not one of them is missing, which guarantees eternal security. In other words, the moment that a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are guaranteed, not because we deserve it or earn it or merit it. We're guaranteed because of what Christ has done on that cross and all that he accomplished. We are guaranteed we're going to share glory with him. It's just part of this great grace package. You know, when I think of these things, I just marvel. I oftentimes in my own private world, I'm on my knees before the Lord just overwhelmed with this stuff and saying, how in the world, what an amazing God to do such a wonderful thing, be so gracious in this great package. The 32nd achievement, at the moment of salvation, a believer is complete. I'd like you to go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, we read, for in him, that is Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he's the head over all rule and authority. We have been made complete in Christ. We are complete in our relationship with God because we've believed in Jesus Christ. That's our complete standing with the Lord. You cannot be more or less a believer because you're complete in Christ. Now, you can reflect you're more or less a believer, depending on how you behave and what you do and how you take the Scriptures in, all that. But you cannot be more or less a believer because you're complete in Christ. And I love what Dr. Chafer said. Dr. Chafer, in thinking about that, said, man, this gets beyond the range of human comprehension. What does all that mean, we're complete in Christ? I mean, he said, you start contemplating that. He said, this is deep doctrine here. This is deep theology here. But at the moment you believe on the Lord, you have a complete standing in the sight of God. That is the 32nd achievement. And the final achievement of grace is, at the moment of salvation, a believer possesses every spiritual blessing. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That really does sum up all the benefits of the grace package. Right there. That one right there. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Frankly, even though we've attempted to pinpoint these great achievements of grace, it's impossible to fully grasp this stuff. It really is. You just marvel when you think through these things and ponder these things because of the wonderful positional and possessional realities that occur the moment that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all by the grace of God. The grace package is just an amazing package. And the only thing a person has to do to secure all of these 33 achievements that we've worked our way through is believe. God doesn't ask a person to do one more thing other than that. He just says, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then this grace package becomes yours. You got to be out of your mind not to believe. I mean, it's just a foolish. I mean, you have to be a fool. So look at this, that God says, I'll give you all this stuff if you believe in my son. You invite my son into your life. You'll have this all. You just have to be foolish not to do that. Dr. Walbert said, as all these blessings indicate, salvation is a work of God for man, not a work of man for God. The truth of the riches of divine grace is almost overwhelming, and it is difficult to give it proper recognition. Those who preach the gospel, however, must make clear how abundant the riches believers have in Christ when they place their faith in him. And when you think through all of these 33 divine achievements that we've been through, the message of Paul is so clear. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. So that is the conclusion of the amazing package of the grace of God. Well, next week we begin a brand new study on the history and the importance of the nation Israel. And I hope you'll be part of that. Thanks for coming. Good night. The Lord bless you.